Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the Wild Animal Compound and still frigid in Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio as we reach around the world. Hello to our listeners in Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, England, and all across North America. A pleasure to have you along. As always, our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, our technical engineer, Wayne Larson. A little bit later on in the program, but I'm sure she'll be interjecting before then, our teacher of the year, Amy Swihart, and of course from the Wild World News headquarters, now HD, newly renovated, the Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. Pretty excited about our show tonight.
We are excited. Not yet, Wayne. We've got a rock and roll legend with us tonight, and this has been a while in the making. Joining us a little bit later on in the program, and I totally encourage him to interject as we go through the Wild World news as well.
Please.
Rick Derringer is going to be with us, and we're going to have an exciting time and talk a little bit about his new and older projects, and it's going to be fun.
A little rock and roll history here.
I'm already here.
Yeah, we've had lots of rock and roll stars, and this is just great to have Mr. Derringer as a part of it. It's fun.
I am here.
You are here, and you're talking to us from Florida. Is that correct?
Yeah. How cold is it there in Indiana?
Well, it's 5 degrees as we speak.
5 degrees. You're missing that, aren't you?
Wow.
I'm trying not to speak, but I can't help it.
I lived in Indiana.
I know you're from Indiana.
It's 7 below right now.
Yeah, I lived in
where I am.
Yeah, I lived in. Was born in Ohio, and I lived in Indiana for many years.
Well, now, what city did you live in, Mr. Derringer, Rick?
Well, I was born in. I lived in Port Recovery, Ohio, a little town, and then I moved to Union City, Indiana.
I know where that's at. Just across the Ohio
State
line.
Where it's probably 7 degrees below zero right now.
With about 10 inches of snow on the ground.
Yep.
Which makes it absolutely
and I'm,
wonderful.
And I'm in Florida where it's about 70 degrees right now.
Oh, my gosh. makes me want to cry.
Oh, you know what? This winter has put a little spice in your life. Take it off.
Right. This part of Wild World is brought to you by Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Weekend and Expo Video, available on video on demand for $4.99. Go to the website, ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. Let me spell that for you, folks, so sharpen your pencils. Chautauqua, LakeBigfoot.com. Features Steve Coles, Melissa Hovey, Billy Willard, the infamous Bob Gimlin, and myself. And if you're interested in the Bigfoot phenomenon at all, it's right there, video on demand for just $4.99, over 6 hours of video. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for February the 6th. Yeah, as we were talking earlier, it is 5 degrees here in Naptown.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Now, as we know, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow over the weekend.
Yeah.
Which means 6 more weeks of winter.
Oh.
Now, you've worked with woodchucks or groundhogs in your educational programs before, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And are they very good weather forecasters?
No, they sleep all winter. I think they have to poke that woodchuck to come out. It's not even in their mind to show up outside in the 1st of February.
Exactly.
Not even in the equation.
Yeah, now, see, if Punxsutawney lived in Florida where Rick is, he'd probably seen his shadow.
Well, he wouldn't hibernate, for sure.
I think that's just a bunch of baloney. I really do.
Well,
right?
Phil has been predicting the weather since 1887.
Okay, Dr. Day, how accurate has he been?
Well, he has seen his shadow 100 times. He has not seen his shadow 17 times. And there were 9 times where they have no record of whether he saw his shadow or not.
But when he saw his shadow, did the weather match up with what he saw?
No.
So
no, on most occasions, Phil has been completely wrong.
Well, see, we're all kind of caught up in this hoax.
Well, here's how I look at it. Officially, there's 41 days till spring, and that's what I'm going on.
Yeah,
I'm with you, Dr. Day.
All right, we'll start out the news with some good news, but not great news. Now, the drug maker Merrick is joining 24 other pharmaceutical companies and contract laboratories in committing to not use chimpanzees for research.
Oh, good for them.
Now, Merrick is the largest company so far to do so, to make this switch. Now, the growing trend could mean roughly that 1,000 chimps in the U.S. that are used for research or warehoused for many years in laboratory cages could be retired to sanctuaries by around 2020.
Boy, that's going to take a lot of sanctuaries.
Now, that's good news, but that's not great news. That's still 6 years away.
Now,
if our listeners would like to comment to the Merrick Company about this, do so, please.
Okay.
All right. Now, we're going to head down to Florida, down to Rick's area.
Oh, good.
The cola. Now, this is, again, not good news, but we're doing the best we can. The winter storm that struck the panhandle last week is being blamed for the deaths of penguins, sea turtles, and other wildlife.
Mm.
Yeah, more than 130 cold, stunned, endangered, and threatened sea turtles were rescued over the weekend, and a dozen more were found dead.
Well, that's... Do you ever get to the coast, Rick?
Yeah, I live on the West Coast. We're on Sarasota Bay.
Oh,
that's a beautiful area.
Well, it is.
Rick, did you know that I'm coming to visit you over spring break?
Where are you going?
Right there where you are.
Oh, you just mean...
Yes, I'm coming to your house.
You're coming to our area.
No, your house.
Not specifically to my house.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to Orlando. I'm not even
Orlando.
Going to the coast.
Orlando's usually, it's usually even warmer in Orlando than we are.
Yeah. You know what? I hate to say it, but I'm not the biggest fan of Florida beaches. I mean, just because when you
we
go
have
to Caribbean,
this, we have the most beautiful, softest sand. It's like confection sand on our local beaches in the world.
Amen.
You
it's
know,
like powdered sugar.
That's, I do like that. That's cool. I would almost want to eat it. But you know, the thing is, that blue water, like at the Bahamas, I'm just loving that too. I mean, I would never turn away any beach, not at all. But my kids want to go to Universal Studios, so that's where we're going over spring break.
Oh. Dr. Day?
That'll be fine. You'll have a good time.
All right, on with the news. We've got some new old news out of Sitka, Alaska. Data collected by state wildlife biologists reveals that the Baranof Island had an unknown native mountain goat population that dated back to the Ice Age.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting. There have been a lot more food for the polar bears.
Well, that's not on their menu, Dr. Dan.
Well, not anymore because they're extinct.
Well, but anyway, mountain goats, polar bears don't do mountains.
No.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now, you normally look to the sky to see the stars, but this week you can go to Harlington, Texas, Yeah, a combination of rough winds, rough seas, and strong currents has stranded thousands of starfish along the beaches of South Padre Island.
Well, our good friend Billy Sandiford's territory.
That's right, good old Billy Sandiford, who is an expert in many things dealing with the ocean.
Yes, he is.
So if you get a chance, you see some starfish.
There we go. Let's go.
All right, Mr. Batson, you have enough tortoises at your place right now, but our listeners will have a chance to do the same thing. Now, how many tortoises do you have at this moment?
Three.
Three.
Yeah.
And they're pretty good size.
60 to 100 pounds apiece.
Yeah, and quite cute creatures.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Now, for our listeners who might want to own one of these creatures, heading off to Salt Lake City, Utah, the search is on for new homes for nearly 40 desert tortoises in the Utah Division of Wildlife.
Oh, let's do it.
Yes, now, they want to put the reptiles up for adoption after most of them removed from the wild by people who took them illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you're interested in adopting a desert tortoise, now's your chance.
So they're going to take them out of people's possession and give them to other people.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, they were taken illegally, and you know how that is.
Yeah, gotcha.
When you're dealing with the Fish and Wildlife. All right, the next two stories take us underwater. We're heading off to Hawaii. Now, the State Department of Land and Natural Resources said a team of its divers along the Kona Coast came across a large number of coral colonies that are new to the main Hawaiian islands.
Hmm.
Yeah, now that's good news because, as we know, most life started in the ocean, and new coral reefs means new life.
There you go.
Now, we got a follow-up to a story we did a couple of weeks ago, Newport, Kentucky. The Newport Aquarium is celebrating the births of six healthy shark rays.
Oh, cool.
Remember, she was pregnant last time we spoke?
That's right.
Well, and they're among the first of their kind born in captivity.
Well, that's very cool.
All right, if you live in Caldwell, Idaho, and you need something from Walmart at 2 a.m. in the morning, you might think about waiting until daybreak. Police are taking aim at some unwanted visitors. Yes, large flocks of crows are hanging out at the shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, officers occasionally go to the Walmart parking lot with shotguns in the middle of the night, firing at the trees where the birds roost.
Why are they mad at the crows?
Well, I'm not sure. I think they just like to shoot their guns.
My goodness, that's ridiculous. You know, we have a crow right now that hangs around our house that has an injured wing. We call him Walker because he walks everywhere. And we've been feeding him and so forth. You know, and crows are very, very intelligent animals.
They are.
Intelligent birds, I should say. So he's pretty cool. We see him every day.
You know, I would love to have a crow, but it's illegal to have a pet crow here in Indiana.
Well, it's illegal to shoot at them, too.
I have a starling that has an injured wing that feeds at my feeder.
Yeah.
And he can't fly very far, but I always make sure there's food out there for him.
Yeah, there you go, Dr.
We call him One Wing.
One Wing.
Yeah. He just kind of flies around in circles.
Yeah.
All right, in the blues news, the thrill is gone, and so is the plaque. Greenwood, Mississippi, a blues trail marker commemorating the birthplace of blues legend B.B. King near Berkeley and LaFleur County, is missing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, someone's run off with B.B. King's plaque there that marks his homestead.
Somebody has some music memorabilia they'll never be able to
do. That's right.
Hang it in their basement. That's all they'll ever be able to do with it.
Well, yeah, let's hope it shows back up. Remember, Lucille, his guitar was missing for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And she came back.
Yeah.
All right, well, in the local news, Bloomington, Indiana, Reports of possible mountain lion sightings across Indiana continue to come in, even though these state wildlife officials haven't confirmed any sightings. Now, the State Department of Natural Resources has received about 300 reports of possible big cat sightings since 2010.
Oh, it's gone on longer than that.
Now, officially, the animal was last confirmed in the state in the 1860s.
Oh, they've been seeing him since, 60s.
I know, but why is it so hard to confirm a sighting?
Well, they're very elusive animals. I mean, even in areas like the Royal Gorge in Colorado has the highest population of mountain lions per square mile than anywhere in the United States, and still people rarely see them. So if there's a small population, it's like a needle in a haystack. You remember the one that escaped the big cat center there at Center Point? That was 4 years ago. They've never seen
right.
a cat since.
Yeah, she's probably having a good time out there.
Well, there's enough natural food with all the deer and smaller animals. Mountain lions have no problem surviving. It just kind of freaks people out, though.
Yeah.
Shouldn't.
That's right. A couple of years ago, we reported about parents worried about their kids waiting for buses.
Well, that's true, you know, because of the one that escaped here in Indiana. I had a superintendent call me and say, you know, we've got kids on bus stops and this mountain lion's running loose. I said, well, think about all the kids waiting on bus stops in Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, Utah, Nevada, where there are significant populations and you never hear of it. You're more apt to be struck by lightning than attacked
right.
by a mountain lion.
Yeah, the competition for food is a lot different here than it would be out there.
Well, yeah.
All right, how are we doing on time? Well, let's get along with the Wild World Facts of the Day.
We're ready.
All right, now, I want you to think about this. What is the only muscle in the human body that is only attached at one end?
Say that again.
Tongue.
Oh, yeah, the only human muscle that is attached at one end. And Mr. Bethan is right. That would be the tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I expected Amy to get that one.
I did. Wild
well,
guess.
Amy was not 100% paying close attention. But isn't the tongue the strongest muscle?
No.
No? I mean, I know the heart is strong, but I mean, I thought I read somewhere that the tongue was the strongest muscle.
Put your staff on that, Dr. Day.
Oh, I shall.
Okay.
I'll say how much weight I can lift with my tongue.
Well, I mean, you know, considering its size, silly.
Yeah.
All right. Now, instead of a cup of coffee in the morning, apples are more efficient than caffeine in keeping people awake in the mornings.
Really?
Yes. Now, you have two big, beautiful wolves that live with you that pretty much are treated like dogs. Does the cold weather seem to bother them at all?
In what way?
They
enjoy the cold weather.
They enjoy the cold weather.
Yeah, they want to be out in it all the time.
All the time. And
especially when it's snowing.
Here's why. Wolves have two layers of fur.
I know.
An undercoat and a top coat, which
mm-hmm.
allows them to survive in temperatures as low as 40 degrees below
yep.
zero.
Mm.
And in the warmer weather, they just flatten their fur to help them keep cool.
Yep, that's true.
That's true, right. I know that you knew that, but this was for all of our other listeners.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry.
All right, now the last thing I want to leave you with tonight is Al Capone's business card said he was a used furniture dealer. Yes, that's the Wild World News for February the 6th.
Oh, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. We always appreciate those efforts. I want to remind everyone that this is also brought to you by our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, our wildlife education programs, our many children's books that Cheryl and I have put together, and they're all on our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. It's time that first grade teacher, our teacher of the year, Miss Swihart.
You show us everything you've got.
drive you crazy.
You know, it's a rock and roll night tonight, Mrs. Swihart.
I know, and I am a rock and roll girl.
Well, I know. We've got rock legend Rick Derringer with us tonight. This is going to be too much fun.
I was bragging on Facebook that I was on a date with him right now. Oh, my gosh.
He's married. Sorry.
I know, so am I. It's just like, I did put it with a blog talk date. So,
oh, okay.
I mean, you know,
there
a little different. That's just totally different, but
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
You do understand that, don't you, Rick?
Well, you guys have to understand that my wife is sitting here in the same room with us, so you guys can't get too far out there now.
No, we're not. We're just being, I mean, I have a husband too, so yeah. Just being silly.
Okay.
Anyway, you know what happened to me tonight? This has nothing to do with school.
Go ahead, Rick.
I said we are here, though.
Oh, okay.
We are here.
Okay, good. I'm sorry, Mrs. Swihart.
No, that's okay.
I did.
Did you read that? You know what? Here's the thing. I like to play in the snow. And so I decided, I had my 16-year-old son with me, and I decided I would venture in a cornfield. I have not gotten stuck yet. I've done a lot of things, and, well, I was so proud of myself. We had a good time, but then when it came time to leave the cornfield, I noticed that the ditch was really full of snow, so that's how I got in. I thought, oh, I won't get caught in the ditch, and I went in. Well, I got caught in the ditch coming out, so I didn't get out so well. I had to be towed for a while.
What do you drive, Mrs. Swihart?
I drive a Honda CR-V, and it's all-wheel drive, and it does really well. You'd be surprised. But so I'm sitting there, and it was half a mile from my house, so I told my 16-year-old, I said, run home and get on the four-wheeler and ride back and bring a snow shovel. And he was like, I'm not doing that. It's, you know, it's 1 degree outside. I'm not doing that. And he had his cowboy boots on because we were headed to the barn to take care of the horse, which cowboy boots don't have, you know, they're not really that great for warmth and traction. So anyway, I said, come on. So finally he goes, $50 and I'll do it. I said, all right, $50, go. And he ran.
My goodness.
All the way home. I know. He ran home. He comes back with a four-wheeler and a shovel, and both of us took turns with the shovel, and we got absolutely nowhere. So finally, this guy comes along in a pickup truck, and he says, you need some help? And I get out of my car, and I said, yes, I do. And he says, is that you, Mrs. Swihart? And I thought, oh, for pity's sakes. And I said, yes, and who are you? And he said, my daughter's in kindergarten at your school. Like, nice. Lovely, lovely. And I said, I suppose you want to know why I'm in this ditch here in this cornfield. And I told him, I said, I was playing around. Please don't tell. So anyway, yeah, he pulled me out. So he rescued me. My son was not happy. I gave him his $50 and I took him out to dinner.
You know, when we were going to Alabama that time, not long ago, when we left Indianapolis, it took us 6 hours to get from Indianapolis to Louisville. Because of the terrible snow storm and what we were driving through. Do you know what we saw mainly in the ditches?
Huh.
Little cars, little SUVs that are four-wheel drive.
Yeah, I know. Hey, last year I drove a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of things with that. And I only got stuck 3 times. Now, it was all on the same day, those 3 times, which that was a little frustrating. Can't you spread out the fun?
Yeah,
but
there you go.
Yeah, I know. So I decided this time. It's fun. I like driving down country roads, and I like to play in the snow. So I told my son, as he was freezing, I kept saying, "We're making memories."
Yeah.
Anyway.
So what's happening in the first grade?
Oh well, you know, we don't go to school much these days, so it's really hard to make something happen.
Yeah.
It's just every time we come back to school, well, today was a delay. Yesterday we didn't have any school. So I have to decide what are we going to do because obviously we're on limited time and we're missing some things. So it's really hard. I am actually just today finished up my things on Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, and Ruby Bridges, which that seems like it was forever ago. But we did that. And I got observed today, which – I volunteered for it. They're training people on how to be observers. So I got about 10 adults in my room today observing me. So that was
That
was
like
a little stressful.
My
goodness. Yeah, you know, that's
The teachers just don't get paid enough.
No.
For all
no.
the stuff that they have to put up with.
No, I know.
Between
that's...
the administration and parents, and then you get the children. That's the best part of the whole deal.
You know, I'm really lucky. I have a good relationship with all the parents. I usually do. And so they are a blessing. I have no complaints there. Administration, yeah, that's a little bit of a eh.
Yeah.
Our superintendent just announced his retirement today, so we'll be up for a new superintendent. But, yeah, it's, you know, in the classroom, I don't know. I'm trying to think of silly, funny things they've done, but they haven't been here enough.
They haven't been at school.
I think I did post on Facebook a funny story that one of the kids, two of the kids were talking during inside recess, and one of them asked, oh, gosh, what was it? He asked, oh, hey, man, do you still wet the bed? You know, I heard wet the bed, so I tuned in. And, you know, I thought, I wonder what he's going to say. He said, no, I haven't done that in like 6 years. The kid just turned 7, so go figure. He goes, I haven't done that in like 6 years. And the other kid said, well, do you pee in the bathtub? And the other boy goes, well, yeah, duh, that's how you make bubbles. So, you know, just a little I know. It Valentine's Day is coming up, so
that's
course, you know, they're itching to do their Valentines. And this is a really sweet age for that. So
yeah.
I mean, they give them to, you know, boys give them to girls give them to boys, and there's none of this, I'm going to have to marry that person if I give them a Valentine kind
right.
of feeling, you know.
Yeah,
so that's really nice. So,
as Donny Osmond would call it, that's puppy love.
Yeah.
That's before your time, though, wasn't it, Mrs. Swihart?
No. I know Donnie and Marie. And no puppy love in first grade. We don't allow that stuff.
No, okay.
We are just all friends.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very good friends.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They always kind of gag when you put them with a partner. You know, if you put a boy with a girl or whatever as for reading partners, the boy and a girl will look at you and I go, look, just because you're a partner with somebody does not mean you're going to have to marry them, okay? Go sit down and read. They just,
no, my goodness.
No, none of that. So
I can't wait any longer.
I cannot wait any longer. Yeah.
Our guest tonight, Rick Derringer, rock and roll legend. There you go, Wayne.
I am here.
Now we're talking. Like yesterday, doesn't it, Rick?
It is. It was just yesterday.
Don't you miss it?
Literally, it was just yesterday, and I can't miss it because I still do it. I was just in the studio today doing it again.
Well, I heard this exciting news. Can we talk about that, or is it too soon?
Which news?
What your project you're working on right now?
Well. We're working on a project that's a commemorative Beatles because it's their 50th year.
But we are also always working on other projects. Today I was working on a project for the Ronnie Montrose Foundation to help generate some money for his family and stuff, because he left us last year, and his family needs resources. So I was out trying to help them today.
Well, that's I could tell you have a big heart. Ronnie Montrose, what a super talent he was. I mean, fabulous guitar player.
Yep, yep. And he left unexpectedly, and his family was not fortunate enough to have, planned ahead. And so we're out there, a lot of musicians banded together to try to help him. So I worked today on a project to try to fix that situation. But meanwhile, you were right. My wife and I are finishing putting the finishing touches on a Beatle project. The Derringers Do the Beatles, commemorating Rick and Jenda Derringer Do the Beatles to commemorate their 50th anniversary, which is coming up this month.
Yeah.
So I assume that you were probably that night on Ed Sullivan on February the 9th. You were as inspired as many musicians are to pursue a career in music because of John, Paul, George, and Ringo?
Well, I already was. At that time, I was just a kid, but I had my guitar. My brother had his drum kit, and we were already playing with one of our neighbors, and we had already started our band, the McCoys, and headed toward, future Hang On Sloopy thing.
Oh, I know. That's I reminded my wife in an earlier conversation we had tonight. I says, you remember Rick played Hang On Sloopy? She says, that was one of the great songs of that time. And how old were you when that was recorded?
Well, the 50th anniversary of the Beatles, like you said, is February this year. The 50th anniversary of Hang On Sloopy will be August next year. So we're not that far apart. I was 17 when I recorded it and 18 when it finally came out, so we're not that far apart.
Do you remember the first time you heard it on the radio?
Not exactly the first time, no, but I remember that period when we were hearing it, the first several times, the time period when we were hearing it for the first several times, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like that film, That Thing You Do, where they in the hi-fi shop and their record comes across the radio the first time, excitement. I've asked several musical guests that we've had on, and they say, yes, I just remember that so well. I said, it's kind of they said it's weird at first. I mean, to hear you over the radio.
I remember getting on commercial air flights, and the stewardesses would recognize us as the McCoys. Look, there are those guys, the McCoys, are getting on our airplane. That kind of stuff.
And, that's pretty cool. Isn't
it? It was exciting. It was fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's still fun.
Well,
it's still fun. My wife says I still get recognized today.
Well, and then you had the opportunity to tour with Ringo, which had to be a trip beyond trips, I mean.
Yeah, I did almost 3 years with Ringo. We did a huge tour of the United States, then we went into touring in Europe, and then after that we toured all over South America. And once you're kind of in Ringo's playbook, he will call you back up to do more work. So I'm looking forward to doing more stuff with him. And, it's exciting.
Rumor has it that I had read in more than one source that particular all-star band was one of the best ones that he'd ever put together.
Yes, it was.
With yourself and your old bandmate, Edgar Winter.
I read it in the Huffington Post. The Huffington Post said that I was the MVP of the band.
Well, I can. You were,
New York Times said that when we came out and played with Paul McCartney and Joe Walsh for Ringo's birthday party at Radio City in New York City, that I was the standout, the star of that particular song. Can you believe that?
Nice.
That's beyond cool. I mean, guys.
Yeah.
That's New York Post. So,
and now you're
know,
talking
I'm not trying to brag. I'm just bragging.
Yeah. We like that.
You've earned those rights, but now you're talking to little me and little Larry and little Henry, and Melissa Javi.
Hey.
That's so cool.
As just another person from Indiana.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, we've got a pile of great musicians from Indiana, as you know. The great John Mellencamp and all of his bandmates, they're all from Indiana, and it always has been a hotbed of musicians, always.
Wes Montgomery was from Indiana.
Exactly. Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Oh, my Lord. Is that what you like to listen to, Rick? You like jazz and that sort of thing? Or you listen to it all?
I like great music. I just like listen. We like listening to all good music.
I'll tell you what's been really wild here since this Beatle thing has come up, and I was probably a tremendous Beatles fan to listen to those old recordings and how they were put together. When you listen to them 50 years later, they still stand up, and it's kind of like listening to rock and roll Hoochie Coo. I mean, that record still, it could be released tomorrow and still stands the test of time and still a great recording.
Well, that's the thing. It's only 12 notes in our scale, in our,
mm-hmm.
we have. Our Western musical scale, there are only 12 notes. So it's not how fancy the music is, it's your heart that you put
mm-hmm.
in it. And that's really what comes across, that's what communicates as good music. And I'm proud to be one of those guys that's still recognized, the music we make is still recognized as good music, along with those people like the Beatles. So,
oh, absolutely. And, you know, I have to say one of my favorite bands that you participated in for quite a while was Johnny Winter's End.
Yeah.
What?
I was on the phone talking with another big concert promoter about Johnny Winter, and he was saying the same thing.
Oh.
So I'm proud to be part of that, too.
I always thought Jumpin' Jack Flash from the live recording was just stellar, and I enjoyed it more than I think than the Rolling Stones version of it. And I had heard through the grapevine that first time you guys would rehearse that song, but it's never really put on your playlist. The one night Johnny just decided to ring it up.
Well, it was always fun to play. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Johnny was a fun band. Johnny Winter and was really a fun band to play. We had a good time. We like to go out there every night and really have a good time on stage. That was one of our the things we really wanted to bring to the stage was, you know, the kind of party atmosphere.
Absolutely. We're going to take a short break. We're with Rick Derringer tonight, a rock and roll legend. And we'll be back in just a couple moments. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Who's got this one up?
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. Only you can prevent wildfires.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Well, we'll be back with Rick Derringer from his home in Florida in just a couple moments. I want to remind everyone that this part of Wild World is brought to you by McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. If you've never had the opportunity to visit the Rockies and state of Colorado, it is absolutely spectacular. What a great place to stay, McGregor Mountain Lodge. Cabins and lodges available for lease. And, you know, they had 22 inches of rainfall in one night in Estes Park, and they had one heck of a flood move through there, destroyed a lot of roadway. But guess what? They're all back in business once again, and what a great time to go. The winter time. Don't be afraid. It is absolutely spectacular, and the roads will be cleared. You'll have the national park to yourself. You'll have wildlife in your backyard, folks, bighorn, elk, deer. It's absolutely amazing. Go to their website, McGregorMountainLodge.com. And also remind everyone to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, also our wildlife education programs, and our many children's books that we offer. And we also want to remind you, Wild World, you can go into the archives and listen to all the shows, well over 200 with some fantastic guests that we've had for the last 3.5 years here on Wild World. It's all available absolutely free of charge at www.blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson, B-A-T-T-S-O-N. It's all there for you. Our guest tonight, rock and roll legend, and he is a legend, Rick Derringer. And you were telling us, do you have animals yourself, Rick?
We have a bird named Elvis, and a canary named Elvis, and a toy rat terrier named Asher. She's only 8 pounds.
And that's pretty much rules.
She's just a little bitty.
Yeah, she pretty much rules.
She does rule, doesn't she? Yeah, she thinks she rules. She has to go out. When we do out for a walk, she has to announce her presence to everyone that goes past.
Yeah,
If she was here right now, she wouldn't even be able to go out and go potty. I have a little wiener dog, and that poor dog goes outside, and you can't hardly find the dog. So we have to always keep an area shoveled for her.
Yes, it's beyond cold.
Yeah. Well, it's so cozy. The dog's froze. You know, our dog Gladys, she goes outside. She takes one step, turns around, and runs in back in the house. I'm like, no, none of that.
And, you know, I have to report to everyone, I'm sure they're interested, that our baboon, who was we thought was afraid of snow, has actually learned to kind of like it. And it was kind of, we were coming back from a school the other day, Rick. We do school assemblies. And the snow was on the ground, and we were unpacking our animal truck, putting all the animals up. And I watched the baboon walk bipedal across the snow area. And normally she doesn't even touch the snow. And I'm thinking, man, she's finally figured it out that the snow doesn't bother her. But anyway, so this career that you've had, now I have to ask you right off, of all the guitars that you have played for these many years, which one has been your favorite? Just out of curiosity for my own knowledge.
I play my favorite guitars. I have the opportunity to play any that I want, and I play guitars. They're called Warrior guitars. They're made in Rossville, Georgia. They're handmade guitars. Rossville is like a suburb of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they're handmade guitars there. And they believe in good wood. The wood's over 200 years old, naturally air-dried. They use the glue like was used in – they studied and found out why Stradivarius violins sounded so good. And they found that one of the things they attributed it to was the great glue that he made. So they studied and found out how they made that glue, and they used that in the guitars. And so the wood is very old, air-dried, and they use Stradivarius-style glue. And they're made to my specifications, and they're the best guitars I've ever played.
Wow. So you get a chance to go down to the factory and kind of oversee their work when they do something for you?
Yes, I do.
Wow, that's very cool.
And when you go see Rick Derringer in concert, you can see me playing those beautiful Warrior guitars.
And I assume they have a website.
Oh, yeah. You can go to warriorguitars.com and see them there, and you can see there's a Rick Derringer model that is online that they sell. Or you can go to rickderringer.com, and occasionally we have some that are sell that we sell on our website.
Mm-hmm.
But, mostly I just play them and collect them.
How many do you have?
Oh, I don't have one of those huge collections. I might have 25 guitars now.
Oh,
that's kind of huge. Because that's way more than I have. No, that's really neat. That's cool.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
There are some people. Rick Nielsen, for I think Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick has a warehouse full of guitars.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, there's the old story with Keith Richards, Rick, that you probably heard that when Jimi Hendrix was in the States, he needed a guitar, and his girlfriend knew Keith Richards, and they went and borrowed one of Keith's Strats for Jimmy to use. Keith Richards never realized it was even missing.
I can imagine that. I can't imagine that. I had some guitars stolen once when I still lived in New York City, and Jimi Hendrix kindly loaned me several guitars to play at that time.
Wow. What was he like, just out of curiosity?
Jimmy was a real gentleman. He was a soft-spoken man and very gentlemanly, had great manners, and he turned out to be a good friend of mine over the years.
Wow. Well, I can remember.
And as did Keith Richards.
I'm sorry?
As did Keith Richards, too.
Oh, wow. Keith Richards always seemed to me as a good soul. I know he turns into a different something when he's on stage, but I think every artist or performer does that. But Tim Bogert was on the program, and he was telling us about when they were touring when he was with Vanilla Fudge, and they'd tour with Jimmy, that he would often do the sound checks because Noel wasn't even around, hated doing sound checks with him. He said, I'll do them anytime. So that was an interesting piece of rock trivia.
There you go.
There you go.
I think I was just born too late.
Well,
I missed all this good stuff.
Well, I think Rick would agree with me. The period of time that we grew up from the Beatles and the McCoys and all through this era, we really had the best music. And it's always... go ahead.
I was just going to say we can see it. Rolling Stone magazine a couple years ago did a piece where they had one whole page devoted to little postage size stamp pictures. But they were small little pictures. So the whole page was filled up with photos, headshots of various people. And they said, who are these people? And for the most part, you could not name them. You didn't know who they were. And it turned out that they were all the stars of today. The point of the piece was to show people that we came from an era that the stars had more importance. The musical stars at that time were way more important to us as a generation than the musical stars are now. So that era that we're from is why when we look back and we say we love that guy, we love this guy, we love this guy, whoever they might be, they are more important to us, our generation, than the musical stars are now, because that music had more importance. It was more important to us as a generation, as a society, than it is right now.
So you're right. You know, it is more important than it is now.
I even think it started with the packaging. I mean, we were lucky enough to have an album where you had this big piece of artwork and pictures and stuff, and as you listen to the record, you just study it. Now the kids, CDs, I understand, are going out and downloads, and that you know, it's kind of like Dark Side of the
Moon.
Right. What, you know, what the music that covers what completed the whole package, and it was. And
you're right.
We missed that a lot, and we felt more personable with the bands and so forth, and the artists, and
you're
and
right.
I just.
You're right.
And I just have to thank you for being a part of our growing up and putting out the music that you did and generating the excitement in the music industry, as well as many rock and roll people did. But the backgrounds of our lives, myself, Dr. Day, us older folks.
Look for a new tour. We're putting together a package tour right now. It's going to be called Bandana Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have a lot of great artists on that. We're going to be going around doing a tour later in the summer. So if we're in your area, if you see Rick Derringer's Bandana Fest,
mm-hmm.
you can look for us, come around and see us. We're going to have a bunch of stars involved, and it's going to be bringing great music to your area. So look for it.
Well, we want to help promote that, too. So when we find out more details about that, Rick, we definitely want to promote it on our program.
Well, I noticed that on your website
you have
those things posted on your website, so that's a great place to look. And that's tell us what your website is again.
It's easy, rickderringer.com.
Okay.
And then there's Facebook pages that we have. My wife has a Facebook page. What is yours, Jenda? Jenda Derringer. With a J, Jenda Derringer. Her Facebook page is always up to date, and it's always a thriving beehive of activity. But rickderringer.com is also another place you can go to find out everything about myself and our activities.
Well, that's good.
Well, can you imagine how big the Beatles would have been with the ability of this social media and the promotion that's now out there? I mean, we can remember when we were growing up, to see the Beatles on television was a rare treat.
Yeah.
I mean, from the
yep.
Shindig, Hullabaloo, and, of course, the Ed Sullivan shows and so forth. And I think for the longest time, with the black and white televisions, we didn't even know what they looked like in color. So, and you look at all those old documentaries that are coming out now, and I'm sure coming up this Sunday night on CBS, there'll be a lot of that, and it'll just be phenomenal. Did you have a favorite Beatles song, Rick, of all their catalog?
I did not have a favorite. We enjoyed a lot of those songs. We played in the early McCoys before Hang On Sloopy, we were playing a lot of that stuff. Of course, after Hang On Sloopy, we were out there touring and we started playing our own music.
True.
But before, we were Beatles fans, just like everybody else.
Yeah. Do you remember the time when you thought to yourself that the job that you have right now is just way beyond cool? Was there a particular moment?
My parents taught... We wanted to play music. My brother
mm-hmm.
and I both wanted to play music, but my parents taught us we should be more down to earth. That was kind of a dream that may not be attainable, so we should have some kind of job. And when Hang On Sloopy came out, it was certainly a dream then come true.
Mm-hmm.
So to be still here doing it today, it is still that dream come true. So we're very happy about it and hope to continue doing it like the proverbial Vikings die with a sword in your hand or the Cowboys with the boots on. And we're going to do it with the guitar in our hands.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Amen. So
we're
going to
be in heaven playing music for the angels.
Absolutely. I think as you get older, you appreciate your I don't like to call it a job, but your your life, your livelihood more than ever.
Yep. Yep. We enjoy what we do.
Yeah. Well, it shows. Rick, it's been great to have you on the program. Gosh, we've been trying to put this together for a while, man. And like I said, you are a rock and roll legend, and we just feel so honored for you to take a few moments with us tonight. And we really want to help promote that tour, and down the road maybe we can have a chance to chat and talk a little bit more about that as that thing's put together.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for helping.
Oh, you bet. Well, thank
you. Okay, well,
you
guys have a good one.
You too, Rick. Thank you for being on.
Nice talking to you.
Keep on rocking.
You betcha. Thank you, sir.
And you.
Good night.
Night, everybody.
Thank you, Rick.
So, Dr. Day, a wonderful program.
Yes. Yes, it was. Is Rick still with us? You still with us, Rick?
No, I think he left.
Oh, okay.
He's got to hang on, Sloopy.
Yeah, you know, some great music. And Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, that's the classic number one rock and roll song.
And he, too, played on, which I forgot to mention, he played with the Edgar Winter Band. He played on the track Frankenstein. So, very cool. Coming up in the next few weeks, did you enjoy that, Mrs. Swihart?
Yes, I was listening, learning a lot of things.
Oh, good. Coming
I'm thinking,
up,
wow, I'm just such a youngster, and I never really thought that much. But, yeah, I'm like listening. I'm of the rap era, and I'm not very proud of that. So, you know, I missed out on some of the good stuff. But it's still out there to enjoy.
It absolutely is. We want to remind everyone that coming up in the next couple of weeks, Harvey Kubernick, author, will be joining us. He's got a new book coming out, 50 Years Since the Beatles Invaded America in Hollywood. So that should be fun. We've got that to look forward to. Also, Carol Schoenstein with, gosh, I can't even think of the name of her record company. It's in California, big vinyl company. She'll be joining us in the next couple of weeks. A lot of exciting things happening. Ms. Swihart, Henry, Dr. Day, I hope you all have a good weekend.
Well, I think the same.
I feel like I've been having a lot of weekends because we don't have school.
Well,
I actually thought today was Monday, and then I thought, well, no, it's not Monday because on Monday we go to a computer lab.
Yeah.
This is Thursday, and we're going to PE. So, yeah, I am I'm all wonky and out of whack, but, you know, it's okay. I'm ready for the weekend, I suppose.
Yeah, well, it's. I'm just waiting for spring. Thanks once again to Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson for their technical expertise keeping us on the air. And I'll remind everybody, go to our archives. You can listen to our show tonight with Rick Derringer or many of the past members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that have been a part of this program. They've all made it possible for Blog Talk Radio to be on. This is Larry Batson. Have a great week, great weekend. Stay warm. You've been listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.